Hello everyone, this is Mick Gringard of ChessNinja.com, back with another ICC Chess FM podcast for the Dresden Olympiad. It's round 7 today, and an exciting one at that, a lot of hard-fought games. We're going to be taking a look at those in just a bit. First, let's talk about some results. We had some very important ones here for that medal hunt, which has now begun in earnest. The top guns are battling it out in just about every round. There were 7 games today between players rated 27 higher and above, so really it was like a little mini super tournament there as these top teams clashed. No clash was bigger than that on the first table between Armenia, the defending gold medal champs, and Russia, the top seed in this event. Aronian versus Kramnik on board 1, Kopian Svidler board 2, Sargsyan Grishchuk on board 3, and then Tigran L. Petrosian, very important L, no zombies allowed in the Olympiad, and versus Dmitry Yakovenko. And Morozevich got the rest here, which, again, you got to rest some guys sometime. But I guess looking in hindsight, you could say they could have used him today, because if they'd taken out Grishchuk, Morozevich would have been on board 3, where Sargsyan beat Grishchuk in the clincher here, the only decisive game in that match. Sargsyan taking out a really spectacular game we're going to take a look at in just a bit. But that was the big difference there, leaving Armenia as the very first clear leader in this event. And they have 13 out of 14 possible board points, so with those 6 match wins and that one draw. So very nicely done for them. They now have the inside track to the repeating for that gold medal. They're only the 9th seed by rating, but that, I think anybody will tell you that that's a bit of an illusion. Very strong players there on the Armenia team, as they showed last time. Let's take a look at some of the other top results. The other big matchup was Ukraine versus China, and this finished in all 4 games drawn, slowing down both teams. Bit of a surprise, really. It looked early on that Ivanchuk and Karjakin were headed for wins for the Ukraine team, but in the end, they couldn't seal the deal against Wang Yue and Bu Zhengji, respectively, and it ended in a 4-draw split. So, again, that slows them down, and so they were passed by a couple teams that did manage to pull off victories and are now hot on the heels of Armenia with 12 out of 14 points. And those 3 are Germany, which had their, I guess you can call it an upset, even though Germany's higher rated. I can't call it an upset. They're playing so well. So I think actually they're a higher seed than Romania by a few. Germany only the 11th seed, but just playing great at home. And they beat Romania today 2.5 to 1.5 to get into that chasing pack. France pulled out a big win thanks to their young grandmaster Maxime Vacher-Legrave beating Hare Krishna of India. And that was another 2.5, 1.5. And the third team, which again kind of snuck up on us a little bit, they hadn't been looking too good, but is Israel. And Israel also with a win today to get those 2 points. They took out Spain on the bottom 2 boards with wins. And so they're in that chasing pack with 12. And then you've got 5 teams with 11 points, and including the top 3 seeds, Russia, Ukraine, China. And then you have the United States, which pulled off a bit of an upset today, beating Hungary, thanks to a win by Alexander Onuschuk in that one. The other games drawn, including a Kamsky-Lego game we'll see a snippet of here in just a moment, and also draw by Karo Nakamura against Almashi. So the other team that with 11 points is much more of a surprise, though. The 37th seed, that's a little Vietnam. Again, the pairings have been a little weird, as you've heard me complain about already. They haven't exactly beaten any world beaters, but they did beat Netherlands today, and that's what vaulted them up into the stratosphere here. Beforehand, I mean, they're beaten, let's see, they started out losing only by a narrow margin against Ukraine. That was their first round pairing. And then they had Singapore, Luxembourg, Japan. Not all very impressive. But then they drew the tough Cuban team. So showing their stuff there. And then they beat Iceland, which actually is lower seeded than they are. Again, talk about Vietnam. You don't think of them as a chess power, but they can field an all grandmaster team. They're not wimps at all. It used to be they had, oh, they have a grandmaster. Congratulations. But no, they've got 4 of them now. and they mean business, as the Netherlands found out today on the first two boards, Nguyen beating Van Vele today. So that was a critical one for them, and so their reward for beating Netherlands is now they get one of these top positions here, and they get to face China tomorrow. So that'll be a real test of their mettle there. But technically, they're in the hunt here after seven rounds. So you got to give them congrats. Again, there've been some weird pairings and some pretty fluky teams popping up in the top matches. Again, mentioning not mentioning names, but I'm looking at you over there, Faroe Islands. But actually, they at least had a couple upsets on a few boards. But things should be settling back to normal. Then there's some contending teams still with a shot at 10 points. Anybody who's not in that big pack, and that's about, let's see, that's about 15 teams down there with 10. Beyond that, this is a far too conservative system of scoring to make a run. Before, in the old days, with, well, just the last, you know, until now, basically, this is the first Olympiad to use these match scoring systems. But it used to be, you know, every board counted on its own, so you could put up a couple big scores, beat somebody by three, you know, 3.5 to 1/2, 4-0, wipe out, and you could jump way up to the, you know, right back up to the top. And that is no longer the case. Match scoring, much more conservative. And if you are more than 3 points behind at this point, you're not going to make it. There's just too many teams ahead of you. They're playing each other, and while that slows them down a little bit if there are a lot of draws, the chances are most of those matches will finish decisively, and that means somebody above you is going to be gaining those 2 points, and you just cannot make up the ground. So statistically, if you're, it's just not going to be possible to, even if you win all your matches, to catch at that point. So again, theoretically possible, mathematically possible, yes. Probable, no. So we will see. But we're still down. We're down to, let's see, how many teams now? 5 teams that have yet to taste defeat, and that's Ukraine, Armenia, Germany, Israel, and France, all still undefeated. And again, Armenia now with that inside track, 13 points. So let's take a look here. That'll lead us to our pairings tomorrow. We can take a glance at those here, and we see again those top teams meeting up. France and Armenia there on the top, and that should be a good one. Israel, Germany, and then what used to be a real classic back when it was the USSR, USA or Russia, and that should still be a good one. You got Kamsky, Kramnik, everybody should bring their top guns out for this one. Again, USA overmatched for sure, rating-wise, giving up 100 points on those lower boards, perhaps, when you get down to Onishchuk and Shulman, but still, anything can happen, as you've seen here. And Russia has not looked particularly impressive in this event. They've won a lot of matches against, again, on paper, much weaker teams, just by the minimal 2.5, 1.5. And then we go down, we see China-Vietnam match I mentioned, which should be a pretty one-sided affair if the ratings have anything to do with it. But again, Vietnam only lost by the minimum to Ukraine to start things off. And then Ukraine, speaking of, New Zealand! Mighty New Zealand! 71st seed. You'll see those numbers to the side there. The numbers on the edges, where it says that's seed number. And so you see, Vietnam with its 37, but New Zealand 71st. They get paired up. Lucky them. They only have 9 match points, but they get the paired up to Ukraine. And that might be painful. They do have, Murray Chandler, experienced grandmaster on first board. And he's dangerous, as Predrag Nikolic found out today. That's why the New Zealand got jumped up there, is because they beat Bosnia-Herzegovina today in an upset, and that earned them that matchup. And then some of the other favorites, Azerbaijan with Croatia, and Bulgaria with Belarus, and England, which had its share of problems today, is going up against Georgia. And really, it looked very good for England. They had the match against Azerbaijan, that, you know, fourth seed powerhouse. Nigel Short completely destroyed Mamed Yarov, who is often inconsistent, and despite his lofty rating. And with the black pieces, no less, Short beat him in 25 moves, just completely exploded the position on the queen side around White's king in a very nice game. And things were looking good. Adams drew with Rajabov in a game that didn't take a very long time. And Jones was doing fine on the black side, I believe, against Usinov. And so it was down to Howell and Gashimov. And Howell had white and looked to be with a bit of a plus and just somehow lost his sense of danger and won. Again, it's hard to say exactly the order these things happen. The short game was definitely over already, but Jones was still battling it against Husinov, so he may have been a little worried about that one, or maybe he just wasn't paying any attention to it at all and was just playing good chess, which is what you're supposed to do. And Howell was better, but then just completely misunderestimated an H-file rook infiltration against his king and ended up being massacred in the space of about 10 moves after declining a repetition draw. Again, he could have repeated another time and would have had a draw, and England would have won this match. But instead, he went down in flames there. So, a bummer. But he's had such a great Olympiad. Young David Howell playing his first Olympiad for England. You really can't criticize someone who's coming out to fight and win every game. But didn't work out for him this time and allowed Azerbaijan to save a crucial crucial point and stay in the hunt. So, I'll give you a quick glance at the other pairings here. If you'd like, we'll scroll on down, see if there's any team you're particularly looking for. There's a couple surprises to see down so far. Fifth seed Hungary, again, after that loss today to the U.S., now gets Italy, which is not a cakewalk anymore, with young Fabiano Caruana playing for them. Very strong players, taken a lot of scalps so far, despite starting out with two losses in this event. And we'll look at one of his games today in just a few moments, a spectacular victory. Also, Cuba, after a strong start, has faded as well. Get on all the way down. Let's see, who do we have? When you start getting to where you can't recognize the flag, then you've probably gone too far. Poor Argentina, my dear Argentina, has really fallen apart here in this one, just with seven. They have a pretty decent team. You can see they're the 31st seed, but really not an impressive performance. If we finish behind Guatemala, really, I'm going to complain. Nothing personal to Guatemala, I'm just saying Argentina is a strong team of grandmasters. Should not be down there. Alright, so let's get get back to the games here as soon as we can and see what's up there. Again, I think we finished off with the pairings. Maybe we'll take a last look before we go, but meanwhile, let's see our first game here. And this was the key game of the day, and sounds familiar. Game of the day. Perhaps you've already seen this game. Sargsyan Grishchuk, just wanted to look at it. A real cute moment here. This is such a funny position. Obviously, black with the extra bishop, but those pawns are very dangerous and that far advanced, and the bishop doesn't really have many places to go. And he went ahead, and now he could have played a couple different moves here, actually, black. Could have gone for counterplay with queen to d8. Is really the recommended move in analysis, but instead he allowed the white queen to infiltrate, which, again, doesn't look that dangerous, but it turns out those pawns are just far too strong. And he played, this is what Grishchuk played here. Again, they were already getting into time trouble. This control is not really conducive to quality play in the end games. They're usually down, by the time they get to move 50 or 60, they're usually down to that increment time of 30 seconds a move. So after rook takes, queen blocks, and he gets in that check here, and now the king basically steps here. Now this is the key position to all this. There's no black really can't go anywhere. Okay, I'll put it one more move. So the queen goes here, and this is really comical to illustrate the bizarre nature of this position. If takes, the bishop goes back. This is an easy win for white. He can just walk his king all the way over to the queen side and take all those pawns. And there's nothing black can do about it because the black king can never swap places with that bishop because the g pawn is too far advanced and the d pawn is ready to queen. So the bishop can't cover both. The king can't get over. I mean, the bishop can go to d8, but the king can never step any further away, or else that pawn, can never come over and take the d pawn, or else the g pawn queens. And of course, you can not even get into the h pawn being a factor. So this is a trivial win, really. You just want to run through it. There's nothing that black can do, and the white king can just walk up like all the way up here and just get the h pawn ready. And then, okay, this is the fastest way to do it, just to step forward and either win the bishop or just promote the, here you're just promoting the g-pawn straight off, and there's nothing black can do. Those pawns are just too far advanced, and that is the theme here. So queen d7 is the move, and now black tries to get his majority going as fast as he can, but this is a very elegant finish. Really does look like a composition. Takes, takes, and here we go. King g4. And it turns out, at least from the best of my analysis, we'll see something interesting happen here in a moment. Here comes the king. Okay, try to get those pawns moving. And now bishop c5. And again, black's just marking time. You can't move anything. Of course, if the black queen moves, then you have queen h7 checkmate, and that's not good. So he really can't do a whole heck of a lot. So he thinks he's just going to shuffle here, and it turns out to be a fatal mistake, at least in how he goes about shuffling. And we'll see what happens in the game before we go back and take a look at another option. So bishop c5, king d5. Now we're in Zugzwang here, or actually Zugzwang came a little earlier. All right, so if he again shuffles, here comes the king again. Check. The king passes straight on through. Like again, it looks like some sort of reti composition. The queen has to go back to prevent that mate, and the king just wanders up here. Now again, black is just out of moves. He's going to start taking those pawns next, and game over. And then eventually he's just going to take, after taking those pawns, he's just going to play queen takes queen and get that position we talked about earlier. With the bishop back there, and the king will walk over, and there's nothing black can do to stop both the E and G pawns. So easy enough, and it turns out it looks like there was perhaps salvation, although it is quite complicated. It is worth a look, just again to double check these things, always recommended. But it wasn't clear to me the difference between, but the key is tempo. As long as black can always meet that king infiltration to d5 with a check on c5, pushing the king back, white can't make progress. So instead of playing b5, now you can try to save that tempo, and I couldn't find a way for him to get through. Basically, so this, if that, that's the main line, if, okay, this just loses actually now, because you get this check and now suddenly everything's falling apart. So, I'm not gonna play that now. So that's the key, is to keep the c5 square open. And whether or not, black can do that is the question of whether or not there's some way to tempo, because it looks like he can, because if the white king tries anything else, he gets checked. And there are no other points of entry, as in if he tries to come in on the dark squares to gain tempo, black just checks him on the dark squares. So it looks like as long as he keeps the c5 square open for the queen for when black moves to king d5, it looks like he can hold. So if the alternative, of course, is he can try to swap and go with that plan that we looked at earlier, but it looks like this is enough. Those pawns over there are enough now to hold the draw. That's the key. He can't get to that other one without allowing them to run, and this turns out to be just a draw, I believe. There we go. Queens for everybody, and queens for everybody again. Draw. So that's exciting, but there might be something there, but it just looks like that breaks the Zugzwang possibilities for white, which is what happened in the game. Again, and here there's no chance of that, because after that move, there's nothing. Black has no moves. I mean, queen takes, loses, as we saw. So the only move he has is to bring the bishop back here, and that allows that. So, and again, same thing would be if he plays the bishop back to d6. Then the king still moves in, and there's nothing black can do, because again, there's no queen check on c5. So I think that's a defense that Grischuk could have saved it with, but that's extremely complicated to try to find when you only have a few seconds, as I'm sure they did by this point in the game. So nice win for Sargsyan, pulling out the clutch win. Yesterday, Akopian was the hero with his win over Mamedyarov, and today it was Sargsyan. So Armenia is in the clear lead. Let's take a quick look at some other game action here. Gadakamsky versus Peter Lako, top board. Kamsky was in a bit of trouble here, and it looked like Lako kind of copped out. I was very surprised to see him force the repetition. It does look dangerous with that discovered check, I suppose, but really, they went ahead and repeated, and queen, here, check, check. And actually, white can avoid the repetition with king to d3, but he's not the one playing for a win, so if black's going to repeat, great. And what he had, what black did have, though, was this move, rook, show it again, rook b4. And that is really quite annoying. There's no good escape there. The queen has to keep an eye on the knight, or else queen to h1 just picks a check, picks it off. So queen d5, and now there goes your pawn. So now the whole equation has changed. Now all those endgames are miserable. If queen takes, check, and takes. Now the crushing threat is rook to e4 check, and white's just getting mated, or at least losing that rook. So white has to get the queens off just to survive the next few moves, because rook e4 is such a threat. And after this is just a winning endgame. So unless there's a big improvement there somewhere for Lako, he missed a chance to equalize that match. Because that game was still going. Onis took quite a while to beat Balogh, but still, I don't know what his time situation was, but that's a pretty big miss from a top player like Peter Lako to not play for a win there and to force that repetition queen h1. So dodged a bullet there, it looks like, USA. And Onis Chuk went on to win, and so to take that match and keep the U.S. in medal contention. So, and our last one here, this is a real highlight reel. Fabiano Caruana, who's played some spectacular games, board one for Italy here against a strong Swedish player, Emanuel Berg. And, you can tell this came from a French, and Caruana plays the French himself and certainly knows how vulnerable it is to explosive sacrifices. The black pieces are bunched over there on the queen side, leaving the king open, just like out of all those beginners and fundamentals and manuals and everything say, don't leave it unprotected. And now we see the result here. Knight f7, crunch. King takes. Rook takes. Double crunch. And king takes. There's this wicked bishop crossfire here, and ooh, that's gonna hurt. So queen e4, and steps out of the way, and the king is just getting hunted down like an animal. Threats of mate there, so the knight comes out to cover the e6 square, but now takes, and if takes, check, and then the king gets driven forward into the mating net. It's one possibility. There are others, but overall, it's very ugly, and black cannot take the rook, which he did not. So comes out with this, knight to c5, getting pieces out of the way and hitting the rook. The rook just takes. I'm going to force you to accept this sacrifice, basically. Takes, now queen f4, and okay, if black just walks away to g8 or something, one, he gets another check, let's say on c4, but then he's just going to take the rook, and he's going to be up a pawn on both sides with an easy win. And okay, Grandmaster's not going to play into that, so even if it looks ugly, he's got to hope that white makes a mistake here and steps back out to the middle. Rook check, king d7, and now the fun ends very quickly here. Check, block, queen f5, another check, another block, and you can see this is just a complete pincushion position. And after takes, takes, and rook takes, you can see the And here Berg resigned, because after takes, check there with the pin, and of course king takes, loses the queen, and if the king steps away, just take, 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 and that's a bishop. So just a brutal mauling there. And actually, we have a picture of Berg after that happened, and not pretty, really. You gotta feel sorry for a guy after he takes a beating like that. So a nice win, though, for my Brooklyn compadre, Fabiano Caruana, now playing for Italy. But I got to give props out to anyone who's from Brooklyn. So, all right. That's the show, folks. We'll get you back here to give you a final glance at not just the logo, but also the pairings. As we have coming up tomorrow, we'll be covering it live on the ICC, as always, and as always as well. Don't forget to check out all the cool tidbits and on-site stuff coming from Macaulay Peterson, who's there in Dresden for the ICC and is blogging about it and making video reports and a lot of cool interviews there. He's interviewed a lot of the top players so far, and you can check all that stuff out at chessclub.com, and there'll be plenty of links there for you to see that stuff. So We'll be back tomorrow, round 8. Again, the highlights here, USA-Russia, a new Cold War or a one-sided mishmash. We will see tomorrow. Really, the loser of that one is pretty close to out of medal contention. Really, it's just with, there'll just be 3 rounds to go, and there'll be about 7 teams ahead of the loser of that one. 7, maybe 9 teams, so... That's going to be a must-win, or at least a must-draw for one of those teams. The other teams with more points have a little more leeway. They can draw and even lose and still have a mathematical, you know, decent mathematical shot at a medal. But those teams with 11 are, it's make-or-break time. So we will see all that tomorrow on the ICC, and hope to have you back, see you back here for the next podcast for Round 8 as well. So until then, this has been Mick Gringard of ChessNinja.com for ICC. Chess FM.